Good morning. Good morning. I just felt something that I haven't felt in 5 days. A breeze. That was nice, huh? Do you feel that a little bit? Oh man, that feels really nice. Good morning and thank you for joining us again this morning. We continue our series on our identity in Christ. And today I want to talk about decisions, and how we define success with the decisions that we make. I want to talk about that a little bit today. Can I ask, and you don't have to participate in this, if you're comfortable, I just want to see hands up as I ask, okay? There's five statements, and I'm going to ask, not at all, hands up, sometimes, hands up, or often, hands up. All right, you with me? All right, so the first one is, I evaluate the risks associated with each alternative before I make a decision. Ready? Not at all. Sometimes. Often. Wow, sometimes ruled that one. Ruled that one. Number two, I rely on my own experience to find potential solutions. I tend to have a strong gut instinct and I rely on it in my decision making. Very firm on that. Not at all. Sometimes. Often. Whoa, there's your lions. There's your lions right there, often. You know, I love that. Number three, I have doubts about my decision. No, if I have doubts about my decision, I go back and recheck my assumptions and my process. Not at all. Sometimes. Often. Oh, there's a lot of hands. Yeah. You gotta be sure. Now, this fourth one, I don't want any spouses poking each other, and I don't want any fights after the service, all right? So, because you know each other, especially the couples here, all right? So let your spouse speak for themselves, okay? Good Lord. I make most of my own decisions and rarely consult with someone. Not at all. Sometimes. Often. Oh, a lot of hands. Yeah, a lot of hands. Last one. I am sometimes surprised by the actual consequences of the decisions that I make. Not at all. Sometimes. Often. Yeah, somebody raised both their hands and their feet. So, you know, that's a big one. Yeah. Does anybody have any idea, if you were to guess, this is just a number, all right? I looked this up in three different sources. How many decisions do you think the average adult makes in a day? I'm looking for a number. A day. The adult. One adult. What do you think it is? Anybody? 1,000? Anybody? Do I hear 2,000? 2,000? Do I hear anything higher? 20,000? Did you say that? 20,000. Do I hear anything higher than 20,000? I feel like an auctioneer. Anybody else? 20,000 once? Twice? 20,000 wins. It's 35,000 decisions a day we make. 35,000 decisions. Can you imagine? I live in Hatfield, Colmar. A lot of you are from that area. And we have the best donut shop in the world. Who knows the name of that? Yum Yums. There's not even close. You could say you have the best. Please get away from me because it's not even close. All right, Yum Yum Donuts. Those of you who have been to Yum Yum Donuts know that it's, you know, it should put Dunkin' Donuts out of business because it's unbelievable. You pay twice as much, but it's twice as yummy because it's yum yum, okay? I get the biggest kick out of going to the donut early in the morning because there's a line. If you've been to Yum Yum Donuts, there's a line from 6 in the morning that wraps around the parking lot. You can't even get in there. But I get the biggest kick when I'm in the door and someone's getting a dozen donuts. Have you experienced this? Okay, okay. And the breathing, the heavy breathing. Okay, okay. I want two curly Q's. Okay, all right. And I want the sprinkles. No, put the sprinkles back. Wait, wait. I want a chocolate thunder. Wait. Do you see this? It's this anxiety over making decisions on a donut. Do you know that? I'm reading this. It says, Cornell University research estimates that we make 226 decisions a day just about our food. Just about our food. Just about what to do. I love even here at the Chow Hall when we eat here, right? It's not the meal. There's a buffet. For the most part, we're scooping. The fun is, now you do this today. If you get a chance, watch the people that go to the dessert table. No, watch it, really, because there are those that know what they want. You know, I know what I want. I want a cookie. And they go over there, they grab the cookie, they put it in a plate, and they go. And there's those that, well, I want a cookie and something else. And there are those who don't know, and what do? They get the large plate and load up. I'm not going to make a decision. I'm going to get one of each. Because they're decisions that we have to make. It's decisions. Decisions are not easy, and they're harder about life and serious decisions. We make a decision from the time we get up about what color socks we're going to wear, all the way to serious decisions about getting a job, you know? But we're making decisions all day. The problem is that the marketplace is flooded with those type of decisions. I mean, I am a big fan. You may not be. I know, it's okay. A lot of people are fans of Target. I am a fan of Walmart. I have a Walmart near my house. I'm a big fan. I tell people where to find things because I'm in there so much. I tell the employees where to find things. I'm Mr. Walmart. I know the store back and forth. I know the whole store, right? But what's funny in Walmart, when I go to Walmart, is why, and this is decisions, are there 50 types of Cheerios? Not cereal. I didn't say cereal, because cereal, forget it. There's 100 of them. But just Cheerios. When I was a kid, there was one kind of Cheerio. It was just a plain Cheerios. And now they're with sugar, without sugar, sprinkle, without sprinkle. They got nuts and stuff. Like, it's all these varieties. How about when you go get a toothpaste? How much time do you get picking out your toothpaste? Well, this one has fluoride, and this one has baking soda, and this one says it really brushes your teeth, but this one says it. Do you look, how many people, right? You look, right? How many people, because of the influence, end up changing from what they had? Yeah, right? Because the decisions, it's decisions and the influence that we have over these type of things. Why are there 10 different types of floss? For goodness sakes, it's floss. But there is. And there's all decisions that we have to make. What I'm focusing on today, family, is that in spite of all these things, we need to look to the Lord for the two most basic things in Christianity today. Number one is the Word of God. Amen? Is look to the Word for direction and decision making. And number two is what? Number two, the most obvious, is what? In seeking a decision, we need to pray. Amen? It's the two most basic, family, and we will hit that all day until we get this straight. We will hit this all day. When I say that, I mean as the body of Christ, we need to be renewed about that all the time, all the time. So I've asked four people that I gave papers to help me with my four points this morning, okay? So point number one is to achieve success, we need to deny ourselves and lose our life to find it. Again, I'm going to read that again. To achieve success, we need to deny ourselves and lose our life to find it. So I think I asked Loretta to read the first one. Matthew 16, 24 and 26.
Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, they will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?
Amen. Thank you, Loretta. Thank you. This is not an easy verse. It really isn't. It really isn't. It's a really important verse. As we study the word deny in this verse, we discover that it's a Greek word, and I'm trying not to do the Greek thing. It's a family service. I'm really trying to keep it real. But it's a word that means arpartheum, which translated into English is to disown or renounce. to disown or renounce. And it's really important because when Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple, he must deny themselves. How do you deny yourself? Well, you know, the term to deny oneself is not to deny your personality. It's not to deprive yourself from nice things or withdraw yourself from the world. It's not talking about that. To deny is to turn away from the idolatry and self-centeredness so that the world doesn't revolve around you, but revolves around your relationship with Jesus. That's what it's talking about. So that it's not about me. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life, this, it sounds weird, right? If you want to save your life, you have to lose it in order to find it. Amen? And I really believe that's just the Lord's way of saying you need to lose what you believe you've built up to be your life and what you think is the right way. And let it go, lose it, so that you can find the right way that God purposed for you, created for you, and then when you receive the right one, the one that he created for you, it's liberating. It's liberating. But we can't do that until we what? Deny self. And then it says, for what good would it be for someone to gain the whole world and lose their own soul? What can someone give in exchange for their soul? Amen? It's true. In a similar text in Romans 6:4, we have been buried with Christ and our former person has died and the new person has been resurrected. That's what happened with Paul. Paul was Saul of Tarsus. Bad dude. You know, killing Christians, thought he was doing the right thing with God. He finally, in the road to Damascus, the Lord appeared to him, shone upon him. He needed to deny self, get rid of Saul of Tarsus, and introduce who? The Apostle Paul. New life, new beginning. That's us. We think we know we got it. We think we got it together. We think that this is the right way, but the Bible says no. It's just letting go and then presenting yourself. How many times, I love this, how many times have you prayed, right, for something and you receive the answer from the Lord? You really feel it a burning in your heart, like, you know, I think God wants me to do this. And you know it's of the Lord, but not what you want. Have you been there? You know that God is telling you to do this. Yeah. I got an idea, Lord. I got an idea. Instead of doing this, right? Are you listening, Lord? Ready? You've done this? Let's do this. Do you think the Lord says, man, Jim, you're brilliant. I didn't think of that. That's so great. No, he knows. He knows what is best for us. He knows the directions that he gives us. If he's pulling our hearts, it doesn't necessarily need to align with what we think. It has to align with what the Holy Spirit has put in our hearts. Amen? That's what's important. And it's not easy. It's not easy, God. I don't want to pretend it's easy. So point number one, to achieve success, we need to deny self, lose our life in order to find it. Point number two, and I have our second person reading from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a very well-known verse, please.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your
understanding. In all your ways, amen. A very popular verse, for many, a favorite verse, amen? To trust in the Lord with your whole heart, to lean not to your understanding, and all you do, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I love the sequence of this. So trust in the Lord with all my heart, right? With all that I have. Lean not into what I think. No, go back to what he thinks. Submit, I love that word. Submit to him. Lord, I submit to your will, not my will. I surrender, I submit to your will, and he will make your path what? Straight. That means it was what? Crooked. It was crooked, right? Why would he say he'll make our path straight if it was already straight? No, that means our path was crooked. And he says, I'll take you if you do these things, if you will trust me with your heart, lean not to your understanding, submit to me, then I'll straighten out your path. Wow, that is so liberating. My definition for success, for submitting, is number one, we need to slow down our fast-paced life. Wow, do we have a fast-paced life. Last night, yesterday afternoon around 3 o'clock, I was really missing my wife, really bad, like really bad. And I found out that she may not be able to come because of commitments that she has at the school. So I got in my car and I went home. I drove 2 hours back home in bad traffic, in a storm. And I got in there like something from Gone with the Wind. I'm home, right? And she didn't know I was coming home. And she was really happy to see me. And we stayed up all night like two little kids yapping away. I loved it. And that's why I'm rejuvenated today, because I got to see my bride. But I'm amazed as I was traveling the speed, rush hour on Route 309. For those of you familiar with Route 309, oh, Lord. The only thing worse than Route 309 is the Schuylkill Expressway. Lord have mercy. And they call it the Schuylkill Expressway for a reason. Now, trust me, it really is. I mean, zooming and weaving and people rushing and honking their horns. And man, you know, I'm just trying to get home. I'm just trying to get home. We live in such a fast-paced thing. We need to slow it down, Pamela. We can't rush God. Amen? We want to. Lord, how about it? Any minute? No. Everything is in God's timing. So we need to slow it down, and we need to do it through prayer and God's word. Every day in prayer and God's word. Family, every pastor, preacher teaches prayer and reading God's word all the time. Why do you think they preach it and teach it so much? Because not enough people do it. That's the thing. It's true. Statistically, the majority of Christians do not pray on a regular basis and read their Bibles on a regular basis. They wait till Sunday morning to get the pastor to do his thing, and they call that church. And that's not what God is asking of us, family. It's not. The church is the church. We're the church. And we need to be fed every day. We need to be in the Word every day. We need to study God's Word every day. You don't need to spend a day doing it, but you need to set apart time in the Word. It's important. Why? Because the Word speaks, God speaks to you. Right? Basic 101. And prayer, you speak to God, right? It's a real simple equation, guys. But it's the basis of our faith, is it not? It's the basis of our faith. If I wish to embarrass someone, I would ask them about their prayer life. I'm serious. I would ask them about their, how often do you pray? I say grace. Oh, well, that's great. If you pray like my grandson, who, you know, when we're in a hurry and we want to eat and he's at the table, we tell Colton to pray. Colton, can you pray? Yeah, Jesus, thank you. Amen. Good, let's go eat, right? Because we want a quick prayer. I'm talking about digitally praying, on your knees, getting before God, seeking the Lord with your whole heart. He needs that. He needs to hear from us. God needs to hear from us. Imagine if I only spoke to my wife on Sunday mornings from 10 to 12. But that's it. And the rest of the time, she's in the house with me, and I'm walking around her, and we're not talking. She's not talking to me. But Sunday morning, hey, hon, how you doing? How was your week? How you doing? Blah, 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 blah. That's how we deal with God. What is that? We need to speak with him all the time. All the time. Constant conversation with the Lord. Meditating him. How many pray with their eyes open when you drive? Anybody? Yeah. It's a wonderful practice. Put some gospel music on. You pray. You meditate on him, right? It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. But all the time, family, all the time, trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Point number three, there is no one exclusive one way for everyone to follow to achieve success. There's not one way that works for everybody, okay? There's not one way. There's different ways because God deals with us differently. Who has Proverbs 21:5? Josiah, right? I call him Flag Man. Have you noticed this guy walking around? Stand up for a second, Josiah. Look at his shirt. Not in the shirt. Go down to the shoes, and there are flags as well. This is the most patriotic guy on campus. I love that. Would you please read the verse?
Plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty.
Thank you very much. The plans of the diligent lead to plenty, or blessings, if you will. But those of everyone who is hasty or rushing leads to poverty. Family, success is when people are transformed deep beneath the surface in their lives. Deep, deep. Here at Spruce Lake, we got a commitment. A commitment to lead souls to Christ. To see men and women and children grow. This is the commitment here at Spruce Lake. Allow the Holy Spirit to have his way and do wonderful things here. But it's different for everybody. This is really important, family. This is really important. Do you know there's over 800,000 plants in the world? 800,000 plants. So we have plant people. Plants? I love plants. Plants are healthy. I have them in my office. I have them in my house. Plants are really, they're good for the air, right? But every plant is dealt with differently. Some are indoor plants. Some are outdoor plants. Do you know what I did the other day? I saw that you could take a pineapple and cut the top and let it grow in water and plant for a pineapple tree. I made it. I did not make it happen. It's been sitting in water for a while, and I got no pineapples, but I'm trying it. Because that, you work with that differently. And I put it in soil just the other day. My wife thinks it's silly, but I'm giving it a shot. I want a pineapple, right? Instead of going to Produce Junction and paying $1.50, right? I'm trying to grow a pineapple, right? But my point is, we all these plants grow differently at different paces, at different things, in different ways. And it's the same with us, family. So it's really important that we not judge each other at the rate of growth. I'm going to say it again. Let's be careful not to judge each other at the rate of our growth. And people shouldn't rush us at the rate of our growth. Because we're going to grow differently at different times and different ways. Amen? Because that's how it is. It may take me longer to get there. It may take your spouse, your children longer to get there. But be patient and trust the Holy Spirit that he's working and that growth will come. Amen? It will come. It will come. I know a lot of times I don't make the right decision. The Holy Spirit guides me to something, and this is what I love about our Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful every day for the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because when I steer away gracefully, and I mean gracefully, the Lord brings me back. People, most of your cars have a GPS. Do you ever not listen to your GPS? My GPS, I have a nickname for my GPS. Her name is Betsy. I don't know why. I've called her Betsy for years. I said, Betsy, help me get to Spruce Lake, because I don't know how to get here without the GPS. But sometimes I say, Betsy, I just took this road. I think I should turn left. And Betsy goes, reroute, reroute, reroute. And inevitably, there's an accident or construction, because Betsy knows best. But she reroutes me. She reroutes me. And that's how the Lord does with us. Even when we mess up, he's graceful to what? Reroute, reroute, reroute. And we have that grace. We have that grace. So while it's important to make decisions, and it is important to make a decision. That's another thing, family. That's not even in my notes. Family, we need to learn to make a decision. I am the other end of that extreme. I'm the worst person in a meeting. The worst person in a meeting is me. I confess. I'll go to the altar, pray for me later. I'm the worst person in a meeting. I hate meetings because I see the mountain. If the goal is to get to the mountain, I run to the mountain. I don't need 16 meetings to tell me how to get to the mountain. Well, we have to plan first. We have to form a committee and we have to do this. We have to, oh, Lord, have mercy. People, let's just get up and walk to the mountain. For goodness sakes, let's just go. So I'm the other extreme. I'm the other extreme, and I know that. I get that. But I don't like a whole lot of something to just help me get there. But so many times, I say, let's just make a decision. Have you come to a four-way stop with your car, and all four cars get there at the same time? Have you been there? It's a four-way stop sign. What do you all do? You know what I do? Floor the gas. I go. I make a decision. I don't wait for this guy or that guy or the other guy to look at me. And then all the other three are looking at me like, what was that? What was that? The guy making a decision. I go. I'm the decision guy. But many times I make the wrong decision. I'm not even going to ask for hands because I know no one here makes any wrong decisions. This just looks like such a good group. You don't make any wrong decisions. But for those of you who maybe slipped away, I'm going to show you the king of wrong decisions. Are you ready? Can we show this picture, Ben? Look at this. You ready? I'm going to read this. 33-year-old Larry Walters was an ordinary guy. He decided one day in Los Angeles that he was going to buy 45 weather balloons. And he strapped himself to a lawn chair. Are you ready for this? He strapped himself to his lawn chair and put weather balloons, 45 of them. He strapped himself to the chair and persuaded his family and friends to help him tie it down and hold him. He took a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a BB gun, figuring that he would rise up maybe a couple of feet and have fun with it. And then when it was time, he would take his BB gun and shoot the balloons to let him down. What happened? Well, assuming he was only going to go about 100 feet, it took off and it soared more than 11,000 feet. This really happened. 11,000 feet. Too frightened to shoot the balloons at 11,000 feet, right? Imagine this. At 11,000 feet, he stayed airborne for 2 hours, forcing the LA airport to shut down its runway. Can you imagine something so simple? They had to shut down the airport because this guy's up interfering with airplanes. His wife, I heard, if you get a chance, Google his wife and him had a transistor, like a walkie-talkie. And his wife starts off with, "Oh, honey, you're going a little, hon, oh my God, oh, hon." And he's like, "Oh, I'm fine. No, you're not." And all you hear this like all the way up, right? They had to send a military helicopter to rescue him. They brought him down. And he was arrested. Yes, he was. They asked him. This is a reporter asking him, "Were you scared, Mr. Walters?" He said, "Yeah." "Would you do it again?" He said, "No." He goes, "Why'd you do it?" "Because." That's what his answer was. "Because." And then later he said, "Well, you just can't sit in the lawn chair." This is a real picture of him, real picture of, I mean, can you imagine seeing this? Family, here's my point. We can really make some dumb decisions, some bad decisions, but we need to be smart about our decisions. We don't need to tie a lawn chair to a bunch of balloons because we know that's just stupid. That's just dumb. That makes no sense, right? But we need to be smart about the leading in our lives of the Holy Spirit. When you make decisions in your life, family, and there's some serious decisions that you have to make, even simple ones, look to the Lord in prayer. Go to the Word of God and ask you, "Lord, Holy Spirit, please help me make this decision about whatever it is, about my house, about my job, about my children, any decision you need to make. Seek the Lord about it and ask him to guide you." My last point, point number 4, why is it that we always want to know ahead of time before we take the adventure? Allow the Holy Spirit to be your guide. The last person has John 14, 15, and 17. 15 to 17, please.
"If you love me, keep my
Thank you. "If you love me," what are you saying? "Keep my commandments." He goes, and Jesus is saying this, "I will pray the Father, and he will send you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you," everyone say, "forever." How long? Forever. The Holy Spirit is with you forever, family. Forever. Isn't that wonderful to know that we have the Holy Spirit forever? "The Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him because he dwells in you and will be with you." There's a quote that says, "We cannot engage in plans and decisions that honor God until we prepare our hearts and we're intentional about keeping them soft and responsive to his healing." Family, let's be intentional about our decisions to seek the Lord. Let's be intentional about being in God's word. Let's be intentional about taking time to pray, and let's not let that happen to us, all right? Because that's a lot of us, family. We're floating around 11,000 feet when we thought it was really simple because we didn't seek God's help, because we didn't seek his direction in all that we do. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for being our Lord and our Savior and for giving us the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in our lives to direct us and comfort us and lead us in all that we do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you have a decision, I'm going to ask you all to pray. I'm going to pray a special prayer over you right now. Ready? I want each and every person in the auditorium today to think about the number one petition that you have before God right now. Think about it. Not, I know you have a lot. You maybe have a lot of things, but number one, the number one petition that you have before God right now, I want you to think about that. And we're going to give it to the Lord this morning. That decision, we're going to give it to the Lord this morning. I'm going to pray over you, and you're going to leave here free of that, knowing that the Holy Spirit is going to guide you, and God's got it, all right? So I pray, Heavenly Father, whatever that decision is that we're holding on to, that number one decision, we ask you to guide us and let your Holy Spirit be our guide and help us to know that we're going to give it to you. Lord, I give it to you right now. It's not my problem. It is not mine to hold anymore, Lord. That decision is yours, and I know you got this. And I'm trusting you, Lord, that it will come to fruition in your time, because I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, family. Have a great day.